is one moment, sir. The Honorable Mr. Neal will serve as the lead for your hearing this morning, sir.
Okay.
Well, can you hear me okay, sir?
Yes, I could.
Okay, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Esteban Castaneda, 266-108.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing for the Honorable Board of Detectives courtesy this morning in reference to your community supervision revocation.
Yes.
I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct the hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Dr. C.C. Wright, who's our board chairman, the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Dillon, and I'll be the hearing lead.
Okay.
Also in the room today, we have Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today.
Okay.
So prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
The one I got like 2 weeks ago, yes.
Yes. Okay, on that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or get a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm just representing myself.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to swear you and Mr. Turner in at this time. So you solemnly swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes.
I do.
Okay, sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, you'll agree to determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. But if they've been violated in phase two, you will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated.
Okay.
So in phase one, what I'll do is I'm going to read the one allegation that's on your warrant, and after I read it, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false, okay?
Yes.
Allegation number one was a violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number two, as demonstrated by your failure to report to your assigned parole officer at the MRPO 460 North Mason Drive in Mesa, Arizona on October 3rd, 2014, and verbally directed on September 18, 2014. You were actively avoiding supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
I didn't even know I had an appointment on the October 3rd, but I missed the 18th appointment, and I went in on the 19th, and I talked to his supervisor, and they said they would call me with an appointment, but I never received a phone call, so I didn't even know I had an appointment on the 3rd.
Okay, but so you have an appointment you didn't show, so technically it's true statement, or you say it's false?
I did not show up because I didn't know, so it's true I did not show up.
Okay, well, we're going to do this in phase two, and you can give a little more information, okay?
Okay.
All right, so at this time, based on the admission of Mr. Castaneda and all the information in Warrant 201-4W-3406, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Castaneda was delinquent as he violated terms and conditions under supervision, and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Glass, and agreed by Mr. Dr. Wright. Okay, sir, before we go into phase two, Mr. Turner's going to give some background information. So stay on the phone, and I'll be back with you in a minute.
Okay.
Castaneda was released from ADC custody on 9-8-2014 and arrested on 7-25-2018 by Mesa PD. No new charges were noted. He returned back to ADC custody on 7-25-2018 with an adjusted CSED of 130-2019 with 1,391 abscond days. Current conviction, 2011 armed robbery, 4 years. No prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2-3, mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted. No prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is minimal with drugs noted. Other arrests, 2010 shoplifting, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2010 drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. Has a GED score of G2V3.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Castaneda, I got ahead of myself a minute ago. Normally this time we go over a summary of case supervision, but there isn't one in the in our packet, so I'm going to use some other information things.
Okay.
So, when you were released, you were supposed to go, you were supposed to go to Leroy, but your mother was listed as a, an emergency contact, correct?
Yes, I paroled to my mother's house.
Okay. All right, so that's where you were actually residing. Oh, I see, yeah. And then the issue was that you didn't report for your meetings with the MRPO.
Yes.
Okay. So, this says that you were told about the next meeting when you were there. This is on the 18th, and you said the 19th you talked to a different person there at the office. But according to the warrant, you were told that you were supposed to have a meeting on the 3rd of October. What was your frequency for meetings? What were you told as far as how often you had a meet?
I was told once a month, but the times that I realized that, I didn't even get a paper. I didn't even know my parole officer's name until they changed it. First I had one parole officer lady, then it went, in a week later, they called me and I had another one. But it just, I don't know, things got confusing for me, and I missed that appointment. I didn't even know I had one. And before I knew it, he had called and said I had a warrant for my arrest within, a few days.
Well, there was a letter left at your mom's house.
I never received any letter.
Well, there was a letter left there that explained that if you were going to back into the parole office, that there was a possibility of having that warrant.
Yeah, I never received no letter, else I would have went.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this. You didn't know that you had the October 13th, but you knew that you were supposed to meet on this month. So how come October 18th or so didn't you go into the parole office, which would have been right around that month period?
Yeah, it was just a mistake I made, and I didn't, it's just, yeah. I was working, and it was just a bad mistake that I made, and it's something I would never do again, ever.
Well, it seems you were gone almost 4 years.
Yeah, that's because I had no police contact because I wasn't running on the ground doing trouble. I was just working, supporting my family. That's why I didn't have no police contact for so long.
Sir. Okay. So for about 4 years, there were 12 months of the year, meaning that there were 48, even at the time there were only 46. Visits that you were supposed to have with your PO that you didn't bother to even call, ask, think about. So, did you not think that you would get called recently?
I knew it would happen, and I wanted to turn myself in, but I had to support my family, and, they're not doing too good since I've been in here because they had to move with other families because they couldn't afford the apartment, and it's just, I figured they would come and get me at my house sooner or later, but nobody ever showed up or called me. So I just, continued working, and that was it until one day the police came to my house or something else, and they ran my name.
So what was there something else that went to your house?
I think they went looking for my sister. And then I was there, and they asked everybody for ID, so that was it.
Why were they looking for your sister?
I don't know. I think she had a warrant for her arrest or something.
Okay. All right, let me see if I have one of the questions at this time.
Okay.
Okay, but Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections has some information. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir, I'm going to read a couple of notes from OMS. On 10-3-2014, which I believe you notated, in an attempt to make contact with the offender since the offender did not report, the parole office by the end of the workday on 10-3 as verbally directed on 9-18, Cecil Rivera went to the approved residence of the offender. There was no answer at the door, however, a report letter was left for the offender at the door. The letter directed the offender to report in person to Mesa Regional Parole Office by 9 a.m. on Monday, 10-6-14, to the on-site duty officer. On 10-14-2014, there is a note stating that the offender called and left a message stating he has been too sick to report to the parole office. He left his known contact number Cecil Rivera called it back, there was no answer, a voicemail was recorded and left directing the offender to report immediately to the parole office.
Thank you, sir. Okay, would you hear that information, sir?
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it as best as I could.
Okay. All right, well, we're nearing the end of your hearing, sir, and the board will be going into discussion to make a determination.
Okay.
But before we do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement, any new information that you think might be important to our decision. We just ask that you don't repeat yourself. But so now is the time, if you have anything else to say.
Yes, you know, if you guys give me another chance, I would like to get in my substance abuse class. I would like to go to a halfway house and just away from Mesa, like in Phoenix. And I have my job when I get out, so as soon as I can get out, I can get back to work and just be a citizen now and not do the mistake that I made last time. It's something I regret and just get out just because I'm in a health unit because I have an injury on my leg and get the proper medical care as soon as I can get out because there's only so much they can do for me here at this hospital. And that's it.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board's going to be going into discussion, making a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be.
Okay.
We ask you to stay on the phone, but remain silent. You can hear the whole conversation.
Okay.
And once we've made a decision, I'll be back with you.
Okay.
All right. The board is now in discussion. Well, Mr. Castaneda is interesting that it didn't click into his mind for almost 4 years that he should be calling his PO and getting it taken care of. One of the things is at this point in time he seems fairly driven, but I think that his best thing in this case, because of the abscond time, is to remain in prison to finish his sentence, but he should be able to partake of some programming while he's in there, even if it's just maybe in a substance abuse class because of the time. But I have one very important member. I don't think he's ready to be returned to community supervision. Comments from my full board members? All right. So based on all the information, we're running 2014W3406. Mr. Castaneda's testimony and the information from the Department of Corrections. I'm going to move to revoke community supervision of Mr. Castaneda. As he was delinquent, violated terms, conditions of supervision, and had lapses without lapses in cool ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright. Mr. Castaneda, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time.
Okay.
You are scheduled for release on January 30th, 2019.
Okay.
Which really isn't very far away.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
And maybe get some NA and AA type classes in. Those 12-step programs can help you in all sorts of ways besides addiction, which remind you so that it keeps you going in the right direction.
Okay.
See what you can get. We do wish you the best of luck.
Okay.
And we really want to see you back in here. Orange just is not good color on you.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not coming back.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. And would you put the phone down and let's see where you have it.
Okay, thank you.
All right.